wrapping up the topic of Hesed Merubah at long last with part four. And the topics I wanted to hit today are the questions of how Hefsin Ruba plays with other types of Shahasat Chak situations. So, in other words, when we are told that you could be Makil in a certain situation because of Hefsin Ruba, what if it's not a Hefsin Ruba situation, but it's Shahasat Chak nonetheless? So, in other words, taking Hefsin very literally, going back to that Tarakha Salamonim Shal Yisrael and saying Hefsin means financial loss, what if it's a loss that's not financial? So, for example, you won't have food for Shabbos. It's not Hefsed Maruba in the sense of any financial loss, but you're going to start for Shabbos. What if you have guests showing up and you don't have food for them? So you'll be embarrassed. It's not a financial loss. So will that count? There's supposed to be a Sudas Mitzvah and you're not going to have the opportunity. So all those are other Sha'as HaTchak type of cases. And the question is, what counts, so to speak, the way that Hefsed Maruba counts? Now, in order to discuss this, we're going to need to go back to a point that we made lightly, but needs to be made in greater depth now, that there are different types of Hefsed Merubah Kulos, right? We saw the Rama's introduction to this Taras Hadas, which we're going to come back to today, in which he says he's Makel for Hefsed Merubah in a case where that's really the Halacha, and just people are generally strict. But that's the easiest case to be Makel in, because you know what the Halacha is. The harder ones are the ones that are built on the model that we saw in the Gemara Nida, either where there is a machlokas and there's an individual's view and then there's everybody else and now you want to follow the individual's view, or the case in which you have a view put forth by a lesser authority compared to somebody else. He's lesser in Chachma, let's say. Right, there's Chachma and there's Minyan. So he's lesser in Chachma and you want to rely on him in a case of Hefsed Merubah, and the question of so where can you do that, where can't you do that when it comes to Shahasat Chak? So we begin by saying that as a general rule, Hefsed Merubah is viewed as greater cause for leniency than Sha'as HaTchak in general. And the main source that we see on this is the Tshuva of the Rashba, which we've referenced before. But in order to really get what the Rashba is doing, and what we're going to try to do with his words, you need to go back to the Gemara Nida in Source Aleph. So we start with that. They're dealing with the case of a woman who sees Dam, and now we're saying that she was a Nida since some point in the past, and how do you define when she became a Nida? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, this is a quote from the Mishnah, Kol Isha She'avro LeShalosh Onos Daya Shaita. He says the principle of 24 hours, saying that the past 24 hours is when she was assumed to be a Nida, and not before that. So Tanya, Brisa comments on that, saying, Amar Lam Rabbi Eliezer LeChachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says to the Chachamim, I can prove this to you. Maisa Bariva Achas Behislo Shevzika Shalosh Onos Uba Maislev Nechachamim V'Amru Daya Shaita. So without going into the Shalosh Onos discussion, that's not relevant for us, but he says, I can bring you a story from this girl in the place called Hislo, in which the Chachamim said Daya Shaita when she saw Dam. And Amru Lo, to which the Chachamim replied, Ein Sha'as Hadchak Raya. I underlined that for reasons that will become clear in a few minutes. But he says, the Chachamim say that was a Sha'as HaTchak case. In a Sha'as HaTchak case, we're willing to be lenient. But you can't extrapolate from there to non-Sha'as HaTchak. To which the Gemara asks, "My Sha'as HaTchak? What was the Sha'as HaTchak involved?" Ikad Amri Shnei Batzoras Ha. So some say it's because it was a famine, and therefore there wasn't a lot of grain around. So if we're going to now say she's an Ida going more than 24 hours back, the result is going to be that you're going to now take all of the stuff that she's been dealing with and say it's now Tameh, and the Kohanim who are eating the Tahara are going to be stuck. So therefore, we don't want to create a problem for them. Would you define that as Sha'as HaTchak or Hefsed Merubah? Based on the description I just gave, is it Hefsed Merubah?
The latter case of the Mamon Kohen.
Right. Why is
it? Well, he might be Hefsed Merubah, so he's still considered Mamon Kohen.
Oh, you're assuming that we're dealing with property of the Kohanim as opposed to property accessible to the Kohanim.
Or even meaning if a Kohen was toe-faced that property, right, technically he would have.
If it was Truma.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mixing up
things. Yeah. So it's not so clear to me, and you'll see it's not so clear to the Rishonim either, so we're in good company, whether this is talking about Sha'as HaTzach in the sense that there isn't much grain around and now you are reducing the supply that they're going to have, or whether because you're reducing the supply they're going to have, therefore whatever they're going to get is going to cost more, and therefore it's Hefsed Merubah because now you're driving up the price. The second one is more clear. Ika de Amri, alternatively, Taharos Afish La Avida. She was involved in handling Taharos, this woman. Going back before the preceding 24 hours, she was involved with a lot of Taharos. V'chashu Rabbanan lehefzid de Taharos. And the Rabbanan were concerned that you're going to destroy all the Taharos that she had been dealing with. And that is clearly Hefsed Mamon. That's clearly a case in which you are ruining actual stuff that they could have used. We'll see. I'm going to come back to that. I'm just noting now that the two explanations of what was going on in the Sha'as HaTzach are not necessarily the same. So Tanu Rabbanan. Then we get a Braisa. Maisa va'asa Rebbe k'Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Paskin like Rebbe Eliezer in a certain case of a woman who showed up with blood, saying it's 24 hours. La'achar shenizgar, after he remembered what, we don't know. Amar k'dayhu Rebbe Eliezer lismoch alav b'Sha'as HaTzach. He says, oh, that's okay, you can depend on Rabbi Eliezer in a Sha'as HaTzach case. So the Gemara asks, my la'achar shenizgar, what was it that he remembered now? Ile ma la'achar shenizgar de'ein halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer ela k'Rabbanan b'Sha'as HaTzach hechi avid k'vasei. He says, if you're talking about after he remembered that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, then he said, well, you can depend on him. How did that happen? In other words, either we follow Rabbi Eliezer or we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer. If you're telling me that he remembered, oh wait, we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer. Well, I can do that in a Sha'as HaTzach. I can go with Rabbi Eliezer. That's not usually the way we do halacha. Right? The halacha is not Rabbi Eliezer. Halacha is not Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, rather, delo itmar hilchasa v'lo kemar v'lo kemar. No. The original debate of what I do with her nida status was actually never resolved. You had the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, 24 hours. You had the shita of the Rabbanan. And we didn't have a resolution. Umay la'achar shenizgar. So what was it that he remembered now? La'achar shenizgar delav yachid palig alei ela rabim pligi alei. The answer is, he remembered that the reason why we generally didn't follow Rabbi Eliezer was because he was a yachid against rabim, a lone voice against many. The Amar, and so he said, well, if it's just a matter of one, you know, him being a minority, and not a matter of him being a lesser posek in some way, it's simply he's a minority, then Kedayu Rebbe Eliezer lismoch alav b'Sha'as HaTzach, then I can depend on him in a Sha'as HaTzach case, I will be allowed to follow the minority.
Now, why does this alternative path to be that he's a lesser posek necessarily? Meaning, is there any sort of a process where we say the halacha is codified, and therefore once it's codified, there's nothing we can do? But here, even though he is an equal weighting posek, and there is a minority, we haven't like put the stamp on it. Or
I don't see it discussed here as a possibility. I'm working backwards.
Yeah.
In other words, knowing how the Rashba and the Bach and others are taking this Gemara, that's how I'm reading it. I admit that there could be, you know, theoretical other possibilities for what Rebbe did not remember, so yeah, to speak. So the Rashba on this is in source base. He says, "Ein omrim kedai hu ploni lismoch alav bizman sheyesh gadol mimenu bechachma uveminyan." Okay? You don't say, "Well, so and so, he's a talmid chacham, so I can depend on him." If you have on the other side people who are greater in both wisdom and minyan, when we say minyan in terms of number, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says what that means is that you have many who you have more who are on his side, more who take his point of view. The halacha psukehi, the hochanachar agadol b'chacham v'minyan, because that's what we do. We follow the greater in chacham and minyan. V'afilu b'sha'as hadchak ein somchen al hakatan b'chachma u'v'minyan. V'chein b'mkom machlokes yachid v'rabim. Ela im kein sha'as hadchak sheyesh bo hefsed meruba o kayotze bazeh. Unless you're dealing with sha'as hadchak, which is hefsed meruba, or something like that. Okay, so he said, not all Sha'as HaTzach are created equal, but not all Sha'os HaTzach are created equal. Sha'as HaTzach with Hefsed Meruba is going to allow me to go with a view that otherwise I wouldn't have gone with. Now, you read the Rashba in Source Beis, and you tell me, what is he willing to overturn for a Sha'as HaTzach Sheyesh Bo Hefsed Meruba? Yachid versus Rabin, Katan versus Gadol.
Not both.
Is it both? I don't know.
It says v'chein b'makom.
Right. So one way you can read this is to say that he's talking about whether it is Katan versus Gadol, right? In somchen ala katan chachum v'minyan ... ella im kain, as well as Yachid versus Rabin, because that's the one that's immediately preceding the clause. But you should know that not everyone is going to agree, as we're going to see. This is the Rashba. The Rashba does clearly indicate that we distinguish between Shazat Chak on the one hand and Shazat Chak with Hefzid Merubah on the other hand. That I think he does make clear. And the Rama, who we already saw in the past, in Source Gimel, bases his words on this Rashba, the classic Rama in Choshen Mishpat Chav Hei Beis. Ein somchen al divrei katan neged divrei gadol mimenu b'chachma uv'minyan afilu b'sha'as hadchak. If you have someone who is lesser, you don't rely on him against the greater, even in a sha'as hadchak case. Elam kein haya gam kein hefsin merubah, unless it's also hefsin merubah, he's channeling the Rashba. V'cheinim haya yachin neged rabim, holchem acha rabim b'chol makom, and so too, if it's individual against community, we follow the rabim, we follow the majority in every case. Does he believe that we follow the majority also in a case of Shasat Chak with Hefzid Merubah? His wording is kind of funny, you know? Because he threw it in after the Hefzid Merubah Heter. But everybody assumes that the Rama is saying that the Hefzid Merubah Heter will apply to both the case of Katan versus Gadol and the case of Yachid versus Rabin. That's the universal read of the Rama. I haven't come across anybody who said that the Rama only was saying Shasat Chak, Hefzid Merubah for Katan Gadol and not for Yachid Rabin.
Just read that he ends it off with the whole makom.
Isn't it? It's a very funny read to me. I still don't quite.
How do we have a song with the pasuk that says, you know, Achor Rabin Latos? Like, how do we get rid of that pasuk? You
know, what's the logic? Maybe the logic would be that because of Hatarachasa on Rishal Yisrael being overpowering against that. Maybe that's. So that's this Rama. And clearly he is based on the Rashba. So the Bach challenges this Rama. Now, in order to get what the Bach does, you first have to see Tosfos in Erevin. Erevin is a parallel sugya to the one in Nida. It brings that same story about the girl in Hislo and so on, and Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi saying, Rabbi, you can rely on Rabbi Eliezer and B'Shas Adchak. So Tosfos makes a comment over there, and this is why I had underlined the two times that we use this phrase, Shas Adchak. The problem that Tosfos is dealing with is the question of how I interpret the word Sha'as Hadchak in the first half of Nida and in the second half of Nida. What was the case? Again, in the first half of Nida, Rabbi Eliezer is talking to the Chachamim and he says, look what we did in Hislo. We did 24 hours. And they say, that was a Sha'as Hadchak. So the Chachamim there believe in Sha'as Hadchak, right? They believe that we're Megill for Sha'as Hadchak. However you define what the story was, Shnibat Zaras, Taharas, Afish, whatever you say. But the Chachamim there accept Sha'as Hadchak, and they just say to him, the 24-hour rule only works in a Sha'as Hadchak case. But in the second half, Rebbe follows Rebbe Eliezer, apparently against the Chachamim, and says, well, it's Sha'as Hadchak, so I can rely on Rebbe Eliezer. But the Chachamim agreed in a Sha'as Hadchak case in the first half. What do you mean you're relying on Rabbi Eliezer and a Sha'as Hadchak? Even the Chachamim were good with Sha'as Hadchak. They just said, don't extrapolate further. Don't apply it further. So that's what Tosfos is bothered by. So Tosfos in Source Dav, L'Lismach Ola B'Sha'as Hadchak says, Pirush HaKuntros, what was the second usage of Sha'as Hadchak? L'Lismach Ola B'Sha'as Hadchak, Pirush HaKuntros, Tishnas Bat Saras, Hava V'Ika Hefzit Haros. In other words, Rashi says it's the same Sha'as Hadchak in the Reisha. It's same as Sha'as Hadchak both times, and Rashi doesn't explain to us then what happened, why this doesn't work for the Chachamim. Fine. V'ef Shalomer came. He says, you can't say that. Because then even the Rabbanan would agree. Kedara Parakama Denida Ein Sha'as Hadchak Raya. So Tosfos concludes there, right before the brackets. The brackets are my own addition. Tosfos doesn't tell us what the difference is between the two Sha'as Hadchak phrases, only that there has to be a difference. because otherwise it doesn't work. Sha'as Adchak in the second half cannot be the same as the Sha'as Adchak in the first half. And so, what we have to assume is that since the Rabbanan accepted Sha'as Adchak in the first half, and not in the second half, it must be the first half was a Hefsed Merubah case, and the Chachamim are Mekil with Sha'as Adchak and Hefsed Merubah, and then the second half is a regular Sha'as Adchak without Hefsed Merubah. That's what Tosfos has to be proposing. That somehow there was a higher ranking Sha'as Adchak in the first half, in Hislow, and a lower ranking Sha'as Adchak in the second half, where they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. You follow? That's Tosfos. So the Baal says, well, the Rashba must have some magic way to read our Gemara. Because the Rashba doesn't think so. He says in Source Hey, Lefi Zeh, he says, Kol Shekin Dekasha Lama Kasav HaRashba V'Harav V'Haga, De'ein lahakel ela b'sha'as hadchak ubedi'ika hefsid meruba. He says, I don't understand then, why does the Rashba and the Rama say that you're only going to be makel if it's sha'as hadchak and hefsid meruba? Halo afilu sha'as hadchak deleka hefsid meruba nami somchina divra yach b'hakel b'di'evad ukid ka'oma Rebbe. He says, if I look at Rebbe's point of view, assuming I'm paskining like Rebbe, Rebbe was willing, even in the second case of Sha'as Adchak, to follow the lone view of Rabbi Eliezer, right? So that means that Rebbe's view is, even on a lesser Sha'as Adchak, if I accept Tosfos' explanation of our Gemara, right? If I take Tosfos' view that Sha'as Adchak, which Rebbe permitted, was more expansive than the one in which the Rabbanan permitted. The Rabbanan only permits Sha'as Adchak with Hefsed Merubah. Rebbe permits any Sha'as Adchak. Then if you're going to follow Rebbe, then you should permit even in a regular Sha'as Adchak, not only a Hefsed Merubah one. So why did the Rashba, in source Beis, and the Rama, in source Gimel, say only Sha'as Adchak that has Hefsed Merubah, and not any other? You follow the problem. That's the Baal's objection. So he, and then he voices more objections, which I skipped in the interest of time. But you can look it up. The Valkei Nira, it's on the Bar Ilan. You can pull this off of the Bar Ilan. Valkei Nira lefiyani is daiti. Daharashba lo sviro le kapirish atosvos teperk misheo tziyuhu. He says the answer is the Rashba doesn't follow this tosvos. Elahach sha'as hadchak de Rebbe havanami perusho dishne batzares havu. Hainu hesed merubah yedid in brackets. Ugetika amar talmuda meikara. He says the answer is, it must be, that the Rashba believes, like Rashi, that Sha'as Hadchak was consistent in its meaning across the Gemara Nida. V'hilkoch ein somchen al divra yachid b'diyevet, ela b'di'ika hefsed merubah. And therefore, you'll only depend on an individual if there's a Sha'as Hadchak with hefsed merubah. The whole time, a Sha'as Hadchak with hefsed merubah, first half and second half, which means he explains the Shnos Batzares to be a hefsed merubah case. Right? The whole thing is hefsed merubah down the line. But then what do you mean? How did the Rabbanan say, well, don't bring me proofs from Hefsed Merubah, which makes it sound like they do believe in Hefsed Merubah. The fact that the Rabbanan replied to Rabbi Eliezer saying, don't bring me proofs from Sha'as Hadchak, which I added in brackets, Dimashma Desomchen Rabbanan al Sha'as Hadchak, it makes it sound like the Rabbanan agree with Sha'as Hadchak as a heter. Hachi ki amrilei, this is what they were saying to him. Lidi dan, from our perspective, lo amrinan daya shaita klal. We never say daya shaita. Afilu b'sha'as adchak sheyesh b'hefsed merubah, even in a hefsed merubah case. Ela lididach, but even according to you, da'amrit daya shaita, ve'vesa raya me'uvda dehislo, you brought a proof from the girl in Hislo, ein sha'as adchak raya le'ein sham sha'as adchak. You can't use sha'as adchak as a proof for a case in which there is no sha'as adchak. Right? That's their argument. And therefore, why should we be lenient and say daya shaita if there is no Sha'as Adchak? In other words, it was a l'shitascha argument. It was, we, Rabbanan, we don't believe at all in Sha'as Adchak. We don't believe that you can say daya shaita for her. But even according to you, you're bringing your proof from the girl in Hislo. That's not a proof. Because that was a Sha'as Adchak case. So don't prove from there to say, down the line, that women can always assume that it's just daya shaita. That's the idea. So again, what emerges from this is that if you take the Rashba's read, as the Bach is explaining the Rashba, right? Then the kula that we have in our Gemara for Rebbe is, I'm sorry, if you take the Bach's read of the Rashba, then the kula that he's giving in our Gemara is a much bigger kula. It's now any... is it? One second. No, I'm sorry. It's only Sha'az Hadchak would have said Merubah. That's okay. It's Sha'az Hadchak would have said Merubah. The, whereas if I take Tosfos's read, then he's actually permitting even Sha'az Hadchak without Hefsed Merubah. His Rebbe has to be one stage more lenient than the Rabbanan. So I take Tosfos's read, the Rabbanan are lenient in Sha'az Hadchak Hefsed Merubah, and Rebbe is lenient in any Sha'az Hadchak. To which the Bach says, well, in that case, since we're following Rebbe, you should be lenient in any Sha'az Hadchak. Why do you say only Hefsed Merubah? So the answer is, his read of this Gemara has to be that the Rabbanan were not Mekil at all, and Rebbe was Mekil in a Sha'az Hadchak with a Hefsed Merubah. That's the way that the Bach reads it. There is support for this idea in the Trumas HaDeshen. The pre-Tavua quotes it from the Trumas HaDeshen.
No one wants to say that we're actually the Rebbe's actually Mekil for without Shasadchak?
Well, without Shasadchak at all? No, that doesn't...
I mean without Hefsed Merubah?
Right, so that would be if you took Tosfos. If you took Tosfos's view, then you would end up saying that. But I haven't seen Poskim who will go that route. Although, hold on for a minute with it. The pre-Tavua, who you can get on HebrewBooks.org, says that Hefsed Merubah is Hefsed specifically, and not other needs. Right? Take a look at source Vav. B'makom shenizkar b'poskim she'ein l'hakel ki'im b'hefsed merubah. When the poskim say, to be lenient only for hefsed merubah, azim ein hefsed, av apishu b'sha'as hadchak she'atzibur yeshlem bazer b'dochot mach mazeh ein l'hakel. He says that if there's no loss, then even if it's sha'as hadchak, let's say they have meat, they just don't have a lot of it. So he says, you're not going to be lenient for that. In low, b'makom shenizkar b'poskim b'feresh l'hakel gam bazeh, except where the poskim say that you should be lenient, which we'll come back to. That's the pre-tavua, and he bases it on the case of the Trumas HaDeshen, which I brought you here. In order to understand the Trumas HaDeshen, you'll need to realize that he distinguishes between those two cases that we brought as Sha'as Hadchak in the Gemara, the Shnos Batzares case, where it's a famine, versus Afushe Taharos, she dealt with a lot of Taharos. So keep that in mind as you read Sor Zion. She'ela, here's his question. This is dealing with Stam Yenam. Nachri naga b'yayin shebechavis ayidei nitzok. You have a barrel. There's wine being poured out of the barrel. Nitzok is a pour. Okay? So the non-Jew touched wine that was already out of the barrel but was connected back to the wine in the barrel because it was pouring straight out. So the question is now, do we say that all the wine in the barrel is now no good? Because the non-Jew touched the wine that was coming out, that's connected back to it via the pour. That's the question. So the question put to the Trumas HaDeshen is that in this city where this happened, that the non-Jew touched the wine, the practice was that if the wine had been touched by non-Jews, they sold it to non-Jews, and they got a price that was a little cheaper than the price that they got from Jewish customers. But that particular year, wine was very expensive. They did not have a lot of kosher wine. He says it was actually hard for them to find wine to drink for the year, for that year, whatever happened to the harvest. So yesh lahatir nitzok yagav no'ola. Will you permit the nitzok? Will you say that it doesn't communicate the disqualification of the wine back into the barrel? That was the question put to the Trumas HaDeshen.
Meaning, do we pass the nitzok out of chibur or no?
So he clearly believes that nitzok is chibur lachadchila. So tshuva, and I only brought you a little bit of it. Vim tomar benidon didon. You might argue, in our case, ha'ol v'ika duchka detzibura lishtos yesh lahatir k'mo behefsed merubah. You might argue, well, this is a sha'as hadchak, and we should permit it like we permit hefsed merubah. So he says nira lahavi raya d'lo amridan hachi. He says you can prove that we don't say that from our Gemara Nida. Deparakama d'nida isa. Rabbi Eliezer heishav l'chachamim meriva achas bihislo. Rabbi Eliezer responded from the story of the girl in Hislo. Sha'avru ala gimel onos. That whole thing, right? The two answers that we gave. Famine, or she had dealt with a lot of taharas. Upirish Rashi, Shnei Batzaras, it was a famine, Vahava Hefsin Maruba. Klomar, Ulekach Afilu Ma'at Taharos Hu Hefsin Maruba. Okay? Rashi said that the Shnei Batzaras case has to be a Hefsin Maruba case. Avalorotza Rashi Lefarish, Shnei Batzaras Havu Vahavi only, Duchko Lohochle Taharos. Right, as I added in brackets below Hefsin Maruba. So he says the answer is they were only makil for hefsed meruba, and basically the Trumas Hadash is drawing that from Rashi's explanation of shnei batzores, which I could have taken to mean shasat chak without hefsed meruba, and Rashi is telling me no, that's also hefsed meruba. So the point is that this supports the idea that it's only shasat chak with hefsed meruba that's going to work.
Why do we even need Shas HaTchak to be saying at the end the whole reason we're Mako is because Baruch HaSam Amona? Isn't that only Hefsed Meruba?
Say this again?
His last line is,
yeah.
Lo Sharina Mishum Haki El Mishum Hefsed Ikilu, the Torah HaSam Amona Shal Yisrael.
Right.
Is that Dafra Hefsed and without Shas HaTchak?
Yes.
So we haven't seen this yet. I mean, he's ignoring Shas HaTchak altogether.
Correct. Well, he's giving you the explanation for why we ignore Shas HaTchak. He said, we have a justification for Hefsed. That's our whole discussion from the first couple of weeks about Atarach HaSamamon Shal Yisrael. We have no justification for Shas HaTchak. You know, in Chachma Vein Heitzah Vein Tvunah Neged Hashem. This is the law.
Why do you need both then? If we have Hefsed Meruba by itself, it's enough. Why do you ever need both? If Shas HaTchak isn't enough, but Hefsed Meruba is enough by itself, why do you ever need both?
Right, so the wording threw me off also initially. When the Rashba and the Ramah used this phrase, Shas HaTchak, which is Hefsed Meruba, why don't you just say Hefsed Meruba? But it seems like that's just how they word it. It's just a choice of wording. It's not like meant to teach me anything additional. There's no difference between Hefsed Meruba and Shas HaTchak Shehi Hefsed Meruba. They're the same thing. So that's the view in general. The Shach, writing in Yerudaya Reish Mem Beis in his Hagos for Horas Yisr V'Heter, based on his read of the Ramach Hoshen Mishpat here, says Hefsed Meruba is an automatic Shas HaTchak, but not every Shas HaTchak is Hefsed Meruba. It's also in support of this idea. However, worth noting, the Pre-Tavua notes that you could use Dchak to get to Hefsed Meruba. If you take a look at source Ches, V'inyan ha-Hefsed misharin lefi mashu adam asher o'ani. We gauge whether it's a loss or to what extent it's a loss based on a person's standing. Is he wealthy or poor, right? That goes back to our discussion about whether Hefsed Meruba is objective or subjective. V'chein misharin lefi azman. And we do it based on also what's going on at that time. Shem yesh doch letzibur bebasar. Is it hard for people to get meat? V'gam yesh hefsed bedavar. Is there loss? Af al pi she'ein Hefsed Meruba. Mikamakom dochak hatzibur. Vehefsed baal behema mitzarfen lios nechsh of hefsed meruba. He says, if there's another dechak and there's hefsed muat, that's what he means when he says hefsed baal behema, we will combine that to equal hefsed meruba. So that's a very interesting note, because almost any situation involves hefsed muat. Do you remember we had the discussion about why Hatarach HaSamamon Shal Yisrael doesn't apply to hefsed muat? Right? Why does it only apply to Hefsed Meruba? We have this whole discussion because of the Gemara Menachos versus the Mishnah Negayim and all that. But one of the arguments that was brought, I forget by whom, was that if you're going to be lenient for Hefsed Muat, the result is going to be that you're always going to be Mako, because everything involves some kind of Hefsed. There's no such thing as a case in which there is no Hefsed Muat. So really, by using Sha'as HaTchak in tandem with Hefsed Muat to equal Hefsed Meruba, you're actually going to end up permitting in many, many cases. You follow? It's a remarkable kula.
Now, in general, like for example, like paying shtaros and stuff like that, we, in the end, make some sort of an evaluation of liquid assets as metalphalim. So why wouldn't you say that mimela, in the end, even something that is precious or something that is economically sparse...
By the way, I just found it. The Nachla Shiva Nun He is the one who says you would never prohibit anything because there's always some level of hefsid. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so in general, just when something is sparse, it ends up the value is more, but there is a certain degree that we view that as a subjective value rather than saying something else. So why wouldn't you say it's objectively expensive?
And therefore it's not called hefsid, it's just this is what it costs?
Yeah.
Because I have a need for the product. Whether it's objectively expensive or not, I need meat for Shabbos, and I can't afford it. So that's my hefsid. My hefsid is not the price of the meat. My hefsid is Shabbos without meat. I think that's how I would look at it. So that's a remarkable kula. And then one other one, which you can probably intuit anyway, the Mikdash Ma'at, writing on the Danas Kedoshim, in his Psicha de Helchas Trefos in Kolei Hefsid Meruba. So you can also get this on Hebrew books. That's why I gave you the page. It's page 84 if you get the PDF. He says, Veda dechol zeh ba'ofen harishon shekasafti b'dibur hakodem. He says, this whole discussion about will I rely b'sha'as hadchak or not on a loan view or whatever, he says that only applies to the first case he described in a previous paragraph, in which he talked about following Yachid versus Rabim, or lesser versus greater. Ava ba'ofen hasheni, the second type, which is the Ramah from the Taras Chatas, where that really is the halacha, kishe'ikar lahalacha kahamatirin, right? Yesh lahakel lefamim b'sha'as hadchak levad. So then you could also be makel sometimes for just Shah Satchak. In other words, we have to distinguish, like I said in the beginning, between these two different types of cases of Shah Satchak. Of Kula. It's easy, he says, to be makel where the halacha really is like the lenient view. And he says that even for a Shah Satchak. It's only when we get into a case in which there's actually a machlokes, and because of our principles for psak, we're following the stricter view, then I say you need a hefsed meruba in order to justify overturning our normal principles of psak. Is that clear?
Okay. Who are these books, the pre-Tabarim and the Deshmet?
Right. So I quoted them, when I first quoted them, I think I gave a little bit of just like who their name is, but I don't remember right now.
So like, how do we view that? Like, you know, line in some books somewhere always.
Right. So these tend to be quoted by the posting. Like, these are like the ones who actually do set down the rules. Yeah.
So to actually use this seriously.
Yes.
Not crazy.
No, not crazy at all. Parenthetical note on now. Before we get into Shabbos and Yom Tov and some of the others, just because we didn't do this earlier. And now it fits into our discussion. I mentioned when we started, there are different ways to read the Rashba in terms of whether he says that in a Hesem Ruba case, you will follow only a minority view versus a majority, or also a lesser authority versus a greater authority. When you read the Ramah, he doesn't tell you anything in his introduction to Taras Chatas. That's what I brought you in Source Yud. That's where he makes his famous comment that I'm makel for Hesem Ruba, where the halacha really follows the Mekilim anyway, right? That doesn't give me anything to work with. The Rama and Choshen Mishpat Chav Hei Beis we saw before, right? He built on the Rashba, seems to say, and that's the way everybody takes it, that you would follow the Hefsim Aruba, you would follow a lesser voice as well as a minority voice. The language of the Rashba, as Josh noted, was somewhat unclear. Right? You could say it, or you could... His wording is a little bit strange. Josh was on the side of saying he is referring to both. But go back to source base where he says, "Afilu b'shas hadchak ein somchan al hakatim b'chachlo v'minyan v'chein b'makom machlokes yachid v'rabim." Right, lesser over greater, or minority over majority. Elam kein shas hadchak sheyesh bo hesem meruba kiyotzei bazeh. You could say it's referring to both, but I don't know that you have to, and the Bach certainly doesn't know that you have to. The Bach objects, and he thinks that the Ramah means to include both minority and lesser, and that the Rashba does not. So I brought it here in Source Yud Aleph. He says, "Miyu akati kasha b'mashakas of a Rashba, da'afilu b'shas hadchak ein somchen al hakatan b'chachmo v'minyan, v'chein v'akam achlok et yachat v'rabim, elen kem b'shas hadchak sheish bo hefzer k'yotze bazeh," end of quote. Right? That was the Rashba's quote. "De'imrit sonu loma." If he means to say, "Debein b'katan k'neged gadol, ubein b'yachad k'neged rabin, ein somchan al hakatan al yachad afilu b'shas hadchak greida elim kein b'shas hadchak sheyesh bo hesed meruba," if that's what he means to say, that it's both of these types of cases, minority view or lesser view, ukmo shehaven harav agash shochan aruch, as the Rama understood, Ikalismalach, then you should be shocked at this. Why chada de lo havale lahafsik b'ma'amar v'chein b'makom machlokes v'chulei b'emtza halashon? He has this intermediate clause of, and also in the case of a machlokes, that interrupts it. This is what he should have said. He says that wording would have been more clear. That's number one. Number two, he says, V'od kasha tuva, I have a further question here. Tenoch b'yachid negin rabim v'adai kachadin. He says, I get it when you're dealing with individual versus community, because that's the story in Nida regarding Rabbi Eliezer, right? I'm going to jump where he quotes it. Lo idmar echas alok magalok. Fine. Avol b'katan k'negin gadol, mashma de'in somchen ala katan. It sounds like in the Gemara Nida that if it was a matter of lesser versus greater, I would not have sided with Rabbi Eliezer. Right? That was the whole thing. What did Rebbe remember? So it sounds like he wouldn't have. And he says, in many places in the Gemara, we don't do that. To say, well, I'm going to follow the lesser versus the greater. He says, we find individual versus majority. We don't find lesser versus greater getting the psak. And so he says, no. He says, the Rambam misread the Rashba. Last line in Yud Aleph. He says you're reading it wrong. The truth is the Rashba only accepted this idea for minority majority, but not for lesser greater. When you have a position stated by someone who is lesser, we're not going to follow him even in a Hefsid Meruba case. Only if he happens to be in the minority. So, just to note, though, the Shach disagrees with the Bach. He says, no, that's not what the Rashba meant. I brought it in Source Yud Beis. There's nothing particular added, so I'm going to skip just because we have the fellow breaking down the tables here. You can see it for yourself here in the Shach. It's a straight read. He says, that's not what the Rashba means. He says, you took the words of the Rashba out of their Pshat meaning in order to say this, Bach. And you can't do that. And so the Shach says, I disagree, and we would even do it with lesser and greater. Yes.
Practically, does anybody determine lesser or greater now, or is that something left for the Amoraim and the Gemara? You're going to say, oh, you two Rishonim, this one's greater than the other one.
So, I've never seen anyone do that with Rishonim,
right.
Except when they don't like one of them. Meaning that there are certain Rishonim, which I won't mention on the audio, because it's hubris to say this, but some will say, yeah, he wasn't really so accepted as a posek. I have to turn off with their cards. I'll tell you who I mean. But you see it with Achronim. You don't see it with Rishonim much, but you see it with Achronim. You'll see people say, even when you're dealing with great Talmidei Chachamim, they'll say he was a great mind, but he wasn't a posek. Things like that are things that people will say. Okay.
Now, in general, it doesn't seem to it makes so much sense necessarily to say that you rely on lesser versus greater, meaning they're two different kulas.
Yes.
Right? One is...
Yeah, it's true. They're really qualitatively different things. Yachid versus Rabbim means he couldn't convince the Rabbim to follow him. But like Rabbi Meir, we say, so they all posked against Rabbi Meir. They said he's too smart for us. We can't understand what he's talking about. That's different from where you have someone who presents an argument and people say, you just haven't learned enough. You're lesser. I agree. It's a fundamentally different issue. And it is odd to see it grouped, and maybe that's part of what's bothering the Bach. Although I say it's not what he says. So let's deal with some practical cases and just see how they're dealt with. Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay? Not a Hefsid Meruba case, but a case in which you're not going to have food for Shabbos. So the Shach writes, Source Yud Gimel, this is from his Pilpul Ban Hagas Horoz Isser Veheter at the end of your Yeredei Reish Mem Beis. He says, this is his Klal Gimel, Ush'as hadchak hainu davka b'makom hefsed meruba, o behefsed mu'a lo'ani b'davar chashuv, o lo'ashir l'chvod Shabbos v'yom tovo l'chvod orchim. He says, hefsed meruba, or hefsed mu'a for a pauper, if he's dealing with something that's more expensive than he can afford, because hefsed meruba is objective, is subjective, that's the view he's taking, like almost the rest of the world. Or, he says, if you're dealing with an ashir, so he's no hefsed involved, but it's the Kavod Shabbos v'Yom Tov, or for Orchim. We're going to come back to the Orchim. But he says Shabbos and Yom Tov counts. That's the position of the Shah, and it's the position taken by the Prima Gadim as well as in his Hakdama to Yeridaya, Klalim Bahoros, Isser Zayin. He also says the same thing. The Das Kedoshim, though, has one note on this in Source Yedalid. He says, Lo Mikri Lechvod Shabbos, Kishayashos Lishchot, Ulahachin Basar Acher, Bereacher Berevach. He says, if you can afford to get more meat for Shabbos, there's time and there's money to do so, then it's not Hefsed Merubah because you have the money, and it's not Shazav Chak, there's time. In Bevadai Lo Yachinu Acheres LeShabbos, but if they for sure aren't going to prepare more meat for Shabbos, Havi Shapir Lechvod Shabbos Kodesh, then this is in honor of Shabbos. So it's only where there are no other options. You've exhausted your options, that's when we'll say that Shabbos is going to count. Now,
For source 13, does the shock then say for Muad for a pauper does count? Because you said that yes, for an Asher, no Hefsed.
Yes, because Hefsed Muad for an Asher is Hefsed Merubah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why. So the last point on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Mikdash Ma'at on the Das Kedoshim in his Klal Hefsed Merubah says that when we rely on a heter for Shabbos, that remains during, and then there are leftovers during the week, it's still going to be mutter. In the Prima Gadim has this also, and I brought it in Sores Tesvav. Uber Shabbos ubishas hatchak nucha lismoch levashal bekedera kazu, in the case that he's talking about, ve'af bechol achar kach sushari, and it'll be mutter during the week afterwards as well. So the mistaber less or achar kach. You know what it's like? It's like the discussion that they have about the taharos, where they said you could be somech that the am haaretz is tahor beregel, right? And then after the regel, we don't now say, okay, now you have to throw everything out. He's allowed to retain it. It comes up in areas of halacha. V'chein kol hecha dematirin letzarach erev Shabbos oni toser lachol lo mistaber les or achar kach hol v'ishtri ishtri. He says they're not going to prohibit afterwards.
So we say the same thing for an anisha. Somebody who's like traveling, doesn't have any assets, and then he could just buy whatever.
So the answer is yes, because we saw last week, we saw the psak from Rav Avadya, who actually said, if your circumstances change, we go lahakel both ways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What about guests? So the Shach wrote, we already saw above, that guests are also Hefsed Merubah. Not guests are Hefsed Merubah, but, you know, for the sake of. We view it as Hefsed Merubah. The Prima Gadim, in his Akdamah to Yeredek, Kalim Baharaz Isser, Zion, the Shach, and Chaim Reish Membeis, they all sound like this. The only caveat they give is that the guests have to be important. It's not just any guests, but these have to be serious guests. It means that they're the sort of people for whom you bring out the nice stuff. Like, it doesn't just mean you have your friend over. It has to be real orchim. And they link this to the Ramah. The Mikdash Ma'at on the Das Kedoshim, who I've been quoting before, supports this idea, but he also has the Prima Gadim's caveat that they should be chashuvim. And he quotes the Ramah. The Ramah is dealing in Hilchos Shabbos with the issue of Pinoy Otzer, where you're allowed to clear out space on Shabbos, and there's Tircha involved, but for the sake of guests, you can do it. Remember the whole discussion. So if you take a look at Source Tezayin, this is what the Ramah writes. He says, this is the Ramah, even though I wrote Shulchan Aruch, I have to correct that. V'chol shavus sheitiru mishum tzarech mitzvah mutter gamkein litzarech orchim. Anytime they permit a shavus for the sake of a mitzvah, it's also permitted for the sake of guests. V'lo mikri orchim elishnis archu etzlo bebeso. But guests doesn't just mean there are people floating around the city. It means they're staying in your house, or they're staying in someone else's house and you invited them over for a meal. But when your friend who lives next door is going to come to you for a meal, lo mikri orchim, that's not called guests. The guy you see all the time is not your guest. Ve'eino sudas mitzvah, rak sudas rishus. It's also not called sudas mitzvah. Sudas mitzvah is you have someone from out of town. That's the idea. It's very interesting, just like logically, right? The ones that we call real guests are the ones who are from out of town. If they're local, no matter how important they are, they're not orchim chashuv. That was an interesting note. I don't know if that's like definitive all the time. But the last case that I wanted to bring is the one that he hinted at here in this Ramah, the Sudas Mitzvah. Will that also count as Hefsed Merubah because it's for a Sudas Mitzvah? So the Mikdash Ma'at on the Das Kedoshim at the start of Hechos Preifos and Kali Hefsed Merubah notes that this Ramah that we just read sounds like Sudas Mitzvah will count as Hefsed Merubah. right? However, the Raman Yoredeya says no. The Raman Yoredeya is building off of Trumas Hadeshin in the case of a Su'udah for a Bris. If you take a look at Yud Zayin, he says he's dealing with a particular Basar V'Cholav issue, and he writes, Ulitzarach Gadol Kigon Behefsin Meruba Vehu Litzarach Su'udas Mitzvah Yesh Lismoch Amakilin. You notice his language? Hefsin Meruba Vehu Litzarach Su'udas Mitzvah. The implication is Su'udas Mitzvah alone is insufficient. Frankly, the implication is also that Hefsin Meruba wouldn't be sufficient, so I don't know what to make of that. But that's his language there. He got it straight out of the Trumas Hadeshin in Source Yirches. The Trumas Hadeshin is dealing with a Bris Mila case, a Sudas Bris, where something went wrong with the food. I don't remember the whole tshuva, but something went wrong with the food, but it was needed for a meal for a Bris Mila. And he says, nira, limchos biyad hamekil sudas mitzvah. He says, you should not protest against one who is lenient in this case for tzarach mitzvah, sudas mitzvah. And where there is also hefse meruba. So I'm not clear on sudas mitzvah qualifying or not qualifying for as hefse meruba. I'm not sure what to do with that. So to sum up what we saw today, we saw, number one, that there is debate about Sha'as Hadchak, which is not Hefsid Meruba, right? The Bach taking the side that it has to be Hefsid Meruba, the saying that it has to be Sha'as Hadchak, I'm sorry, the Rashba and the Rama also took the view that it was Sha'as Hadchak which involved Hefsid Meruba. The Bach's argument with them was based on your read of the Gemara and the language of Sha'as Hadchak used there, but Lamaisa, the conclusion is going to be the same, that it has to be Sha'as Hadchak with Hefse Meruba. This is supported by the Trumas Hadeshen in Reish Dalet regarding the wine. It's also supported in the Shach. We do have a leniency for Hefse Muat plus Sha'as Hadchak.
Since all those posts, you can have either, or you need both?
Well, Hefse Meruba is Sha'as Hadchak by definition. So having Hefsin Meruba is sufficient, but Sha'as Hadchak will not be. Unless it's Sha'as Hadchak plus Hefsin Muat, then we're good. Or if it's Sha'as Hadchak and the Halacha really follows the lenient view, like the Ramad is introduction to Taras Hatas. Those would be two other cases. We then went into the question of whether Hefsin Meruba is going to permit me to follow a lesser authority or only a minority opinion. The Bach felt that the Rashba meant only to accept a minority opinion, not a lesser authority. The Ramah clearly accepted both. And the Shach supports the Ramah's read and says that, yes, even to accept a lesser opinion could be done in a case of Hefsin Meruba. Shabbos and Yom Tov, we said that we are makil as well for Hefsin Meruba, assuming you have, not for Hefsin Meruba, for Sha'as Hadchak, assuming that there really are no other options. For guests, assuming they are chashuvim, we also will treat that as Hefsin Meruba. And Sudas Mitzvah is unclear to me because on the one hand, the Rama in Shin Lamed Gimel sounds like Sudas Mitzvah will count as Hefsin Meruba. And on the other hand, in Yerudei of Sadi Aleph, based on the Trumas Hadeshin, it sounds like it will not. So I haven't seen a resolution for this. The Mikdash Ma'at points out the problem, but doesn't offer any solutions. Okay, God willing, next week we start on Ksuba issues, a brand new topic.